Boker Tov. Good morning. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Nun Beis, a shorter daf, a little bit to speak out, but definitely one of the shorter daf that we've had recently. So we left off right at the bottom of Nun Aleph on Beis. The Gemara is going to focus first on, again, the concept of Minig Hamakam, specifically relating to a conversation we started already yesterday about people who are from a place that keeps one day. This is the opposite. We were focused yesterday in the direction of what do Bnei Chutz La'aretz, we touched on, what do they do when they get there to Israel? Do they have to keep 2 days still, or could they only keep 1 day? We brought an idea of Daita Lachzer. The Gemara discusses when the Das is to return to the original place. That plays a role in what your status is. But again, it's all within the context of Minik Hamakam, a person having to keep like the Minik of the place that he's in. Today we're going to start off discussing the opposite direction. Someone who's from a place where the Minik was to keep 1 day from Eretz Israel specifically, and he travels outside. What is his status? Is he able to still keep 1 day? Or must he keep 2 days? That's going to be the first part of the conversation, the Gemara. Then we're going to get back to, we touched on in the Mishnah, that when you have Paris, that the time for Paris of Shvi is particularly where they're no longer found in the field. So you're not allowed to keep them stored and stocked up anymore. You have to either destroy them or at least make them hefker. We had this, we pointed out, Machlekes Rishonim, what the solution, what one has to do with Paris once it's the Zman of beer to get rid of these Paris. What does that mean exactly, getting rid of them? But the point is, in that conversation, we had this conversation between the Tanakam and Rabbi Huda gave a very cryptic lashon in the Mishnah of, go bring your Paris from your place. And we said from Rashi then, we're going to have actually 6 mahalchim as to exactly what Rabbi Huda meant. And that's going to be the bulk of the daf. There's a little more afterwards, but that's the bulk of today's daf so far, the Minig HaMakam and the explanation of what Rabbi Huda meant. Let's see it inside. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Safra L'Rababa. Second to bottom line on the page, on Nun Aleph, Amar Beis, Amalei Rav Safra L'Rababa, Kegoyin Anan. Someone such as us, we're very familiar with the calendar. We're familiar with the set of the calendar. So I mean, even when we travel, even when we're not in Eretz Yisrael, we know when, it's really like us today as well. We know the calendar, and therefore we know when Yontif really is. So do we still have to keep 2 days? Says the Gemara as follows. Top of Nun Beis Ben Aleph. Be Yishuv Levdin. Avada, when we get to a place of Yishuv, where people are dwelling outside of Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Lars, with the Minig ready to keep 2 days, Avada, we have to keep 2 days as well. We have to do like the Minig Amakam. That's clear. Why? Mishina Machlaikis, because you don't want to change, because of the potential of Kalita Machlaikis, like we had earlier in the Mishnah, like the first Mishnah of the Perk, Yishana, we said a person shouldn't change for the Minig HaMakam because it could lead to Machlaikis. That's straightforward. That's not a question. Says Rav Safra, but Midbar Mai, what his question was to Rav Abba, what's going to be the din in the Midbar? In the Midbar where I'm alone, where no one's around me, and I know Kfiyat Diarcha, so I know what the Yontif is, I'm alone in Eretz Yisrael, what's going to be over there? Could I still keep 1 day, or do I still have to keep 2 days because Lamaisa, I'm out of Eretz Yisrael, I'm out of the place where the Minig, we normally keep 1 day, where I'm in a place where the norm is to keep 2 days. Now, the more answers, Amalei Hachem Rav, indeed, B'yishav Asa B'midbar Mutar, and the Yishav is Asa to Malacha, because you're going against the Minig HaMakam, but out of the Midbar, out in the Midbar, I should say, out of the Yishuv, in the Midbar, you can talk against Mutter, you can do Malacha, you can keep 1 day because you know the Kviyas Diarcha. Now the question is, Taisus right away jumps in on this question of Safra and says, what's Safra asking? Bottom Taisus on Nanafim Beis. When he says, Goy and I, who know the Seder Eber, what's my din? What was Rav Safra asking? It can't just be because he knows the calendar, therefore there's a question, maybe he shouldn't have to keep 2 days anymore, because if that's the case, everyone now knows the calendar. Everyone is became Kfiyat Diarcha. We all have a calendar set up for the rest of time. It was a calendar system was set into place. So we all became Kfiyat Diarcha. We should have to keep 2 days tomorrow, yet we still do. So that alone cannot be his question, just because he knows Kfiyat Diarcha. Therefore, maybe he should be exempt from keeping 2 days in Chutz Lars. That can't really be the question. So Rabbeinu Tam says, you know what the question was? El Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam Shayim B'makam Sheshluche Bezin Magiim V'sham Ein Oysed Eliyam Echad. That Reb Safra himself lived in a place where Shluchei Bezim were able to reach. The whole idea why he keep 2 days is because the Shluchei Bezim, when they Mekash Shechidish, and the Shluchei Bezim would run out and bring the messages to all the cities that when Shechidish was, they weren't the places they weren't able to reach in time. Those were places always had to fake a Diyama, and they had to keep 2 days. Reb Safra lived in a place where the Shluchei Bezim reached, and therefore you only keep 1 day. Okay. So says this, Shayim Makam Shluchei Bezim Magim, Visham Ain Isim Eliyam Echad. Of course, you only keep 1 day in those places. Fahainu Bekvi Diyarcha. The Shahayi Yedea, Masa Nikva Chaydash, Tasim Lek Lamigzah, Shem Yasim Malacha. So, Rav Tam goes on to continue and says, and Rav Safra was wondering that now that he's in a place where they know exactly when the Kfis Yach is, does he have to keep 2 days? So the question just is, it sounds like from the time, on the face of it, when you read it, that Rav Safra lived in a place where he knew Kfir D'Yarcha. He then left to this other place, but he already knew the Kfir D'Yarcha from his hometown where he came from. And therefore, can he still rely on the fact that he lived in a place where he knew Kfir D'Yarcha and he knows already when the Rosh Chodesh was? Can he rely on that to keep 1 day even in this new place? The question obviously is, and the Ola Chorim jump on this simple understanding of Rosh time, and he asks, one second, if Rav Safra lived in a place where the Shluchim Bezdin reached, so he knew when the Rosh Chodesh was based on Shluchim Bezdin, and now he himself travels to another place, so he maintains this knowledge, and he wants to know if he can keep 1 day Yantiv because of this knowledge, that means Rav Safra himself reached this other place before the Yom Tov, so why wouldn't the Shluchim Bezdin that reached Rav Safra's place been able to reach that place also? If Rav Safra himself got the information and then traveled to another place, so the Shluchim Bezdin that came to him also could have reached this new location before it was too late. So why on earth was Rav Safra in a location where Shluchim Bezdin could reach, and he's able to keep only 1 day, but when he traveled somewhere else, he's able to get there with the knowledge, but Shluchim Bezdin couldn't get there? What would be the scenario, what would be the metzias of such a case? That's the Chaim's question on the simple understanding of Rav Ben Tam, a very, very stark question. So the Pnei Yeshua gives 2 different answers. Pnei Yeshua gives one answer. Pnei Yeshua gives one answer that is kind of a combination. Meaning, we're upset for the place we're upset for got to taket kfir diarcha. Like this is initially assumed. At calendar, they're able to figure out the calendar based on the calendar when Rosh Chodesh was going to be. They did not have the Bezdin, the Shluchim Bezdin did not reach there. What Rav Safra was asking was, since I'm a person who lives in a place where Shluchim Bezdin normally reach, so I'm a person that's able to keep 1 day normally, and over here, I know the reality, the answer of when Yom Tov is, and when it's not a suffix because of Kfir D'Yarcha. So for me, maybe I can continue with my natural minig, which is to keep 1 day. Meaning, Enochnami, the people of this location, Bezdin can never reach there. And Rav Safra, in the month that he went to this location, he wasn't able to have his cake and eat it. He couldn't wait for Bezdin's, Shluchim Bezdin. He wouldn't have been able to wait for Shluchim Bezdin's declaration and still reach this place. Avadanat. What he was asking was, since he's a person that dwells in a place where Shluchim Bezdin reach, and now in his new place where he's right now, temporarily, there's Kfir D'Yarcha, and with that we have a knowledge that we normally have his fake Adyama. So granted the people of this place, because it's fake Adyama, they have to keep 2 days, even with Kfir D'Yarcha, it doesn't change their status. Why? Because that was the minig of that place until they established the calendar. The minig was they kept 2 days, they maintained that minig. Rasaf was asking specifically about himself. He's from a place where they keep 1 day, and he knows when the Yom Tov is. Could he rely on that combination to keep 1 day, even the new place? That's Pnei Yeshua's first answer. Pnei Yeshua's second answer, again, in explaining the question is, what was the half meter Rav Safra held? You can keep only 1 day in this place. Kfir D'Yarcha. Everyone has Kfir D'Yarcha now, and we still keep 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. Elamai, the Shluchim Bezdin were able to reach Rav Safra's place, and then Rav Safra came to this place. So why could the Shluchim Bezdin reach this place also? So what's going on over here? So Pnei Yeshua gives the second answer, Gishmak Achap. The Shluchim Bezdin don't always have the same limitations of how far they can reach. Meaning, let's say that you have the Yom Tov of Sukkot and the Yom Tov of Pesach are both 15 days into the month, right? They're both the 15th of the month. But the Yom Tov of Sukkot has, in that month, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, 1 day of Yom Kippur. There's at least 3 days, and of course it always depends how many Shabbos will fall out, but there's at least 3 days that the Shluchim couldn't travel to go relay the message that the month was established. So the 15th of Sukkot was much, the 15th of Tishrei, which is Sukkot, was much more difficult, much more limited in how far you could establish that when Yom Tov started compared to the 15th of Nisan. If a person lived in a city where the Shluchim Bezdin couldn't reach it in time for Sukkot, then that city would keep 2 days, side for Sukkot, side for Pesach. They'd keep 2 days by both because that would be the minig of that city. The Shluchim Bezdin don't always reach there. They always keep 2 days, even in a case where the Shluchim Bezdin would have reached, let's say Pesach time, they'd keep 2 days. So with that in mind, says Pnei Yeshua, a beautiful chap. Rav Safra lived in a place where the Shluchim Bezdin always reached, and therefore he keeps 1 day. He came to a place where Shluchim Bezdin wouldn't be able to reach for Sukkot, but let's just assume this was Pesach, and Shluchim Bezdin were able to reach. And his question was, because he has this combination that he himself is from a place where Shluchim Bezdin normally reach, and in this scenario, Pesach, Shluchim Bezdin do reach in time in this new place that he's in, it's just that they don't get there for Sukkot. Could he use the combination of his original location and the fact that right now, in this place itself, they know the Kfir D'Yarcha, they know not just Kfir D'Yarcha, they know from the Shluchim Bezdin, they're able to recognize when Yom Tov is, could use that combination to keep 1 day, and the answer is, even to that was no. Only in the Midbar, when no one's around, could he do this, but in the Yishuv itself, he cannot be lenient to keep 1 day. He has to keep 2 days when he's in the Yishuv. Okay.
In a similar vein,
Oh, that's what you're saying. I have to say. You're saying that Shluchei Bezdin, they only go half the time and then they have to come back for, let's say, for Yom Tov. They have to travel back to their location for Yom Tov. Safra was leaving anyway. He wasn't, had no plans of going back to Yom Tov. That's why you're answering the Kasha at the Chorin Mesh says, how could it be a Safra reach place that the Shluchei Bezdin couldn't reach? You're saying because maybe they didn't have to go back to the original place. Interesting answer. Nice chop. Yeah, nice chop. Okay. I would imagine perhaps there were people that would be willing to be Meis Nefesh to go and be Shluchei Bezdin, unless I'm forgetting something from the Gemara's Be'an Rashana, that they would be willing to go and be elsewhere out of their place for Yom Tov in order to get the message out to more of Klal Yisrael. I would think so, but maybe not.
Unless they passed the baton and gave it over to new Shluchei Bezdin.
Right. Exactly. Either a chain or not to go back to the original place. Perhaps. But and if according to your assumption that they need to get back for Yom Tov, Rabbi Safra didn't, that would be a big difference. That would be an answer. How Rabbi Safra can get further than Shluchei Bezdin. That's a nice chav. Let's just read another Gemara about Yom Tov Sheni, and then we'll get back to a very interesting machlokes, very nice halacha ma'isa between Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal and the Shulchan Aruch Harav. We'll get back there in a moment. Let's just read one more Gemara on this idea of 2 days Yom Tov. Rav Nasim Asya Azman Bei Rav Lepumdisa. Rav Nasim Asya, he went from Bei Rav to Pumbedisa. He went from the yeshiva to Pumbedisa. Yom Tov Sheni Shatzeres on the second day of Shavuos. Yom Tov Sheni Shatzeres. We know in general, we'll get back to this. Shavuos is a unique one. Shavuos, they actually say, this connects the whole idea of Matan Torah, of giving over the Torah to Klal Yisrael and keeping 2 days there. Keeping 2 days there is actually demonstrates the power of the Chachamim. And that's what we celebrate in Shavuos, that the Chachamim receive the Torah and they receive the Bailos of the Torah. Why? Because Shavuos, there's really never a suffix yet. Because Shavuos, what do you do? Shavuos, you count 50 days from Pesach. And even if you don't know Kvi Diarcha 2 weeks after Pesach, you gotta assume by the end of the month of Nisan, they already knew when Moshe Chodesh Nisan was, and therefore they'll know when Pesach really was, and therefore they'll have to figure out when Shavuos is. So really, the keeping 2 days of Shavuos itself was a much bigger Chiddush in general. It's a much bigger Chiddush. The place that Mefreshim speak about it, because by Shavuos time, again, you don't have to know when Moshe Chodesh Sivan was really. You counting Shavuos is not so much dependent on Moshe Chodesh Sivan, it's dependent on counting Svartam Lechem, the 50 days from Pesach, right? So therefore, that was even more of a Chiddush took 2 days. Anyway, he traveled on the second day of Shavuos. Now, Sham Tir Beisef, he traveled, he was Mechal Yom Tov, traveling on the second day of Yom Tov of Shavuos. So Rabbi Yosef put him to Cherem. Amalei Abaye Abaye says, why are you putting him to Cherem? You should give him Malkus. Why are you putting him to Cherem? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef said, Adif Avdilei, Cherem is worse than Malkus. The Merava in out west, in Eretz Yisrael, Mimnu Anagida de Bei Barav. In Eretz Yisrael, they would vote to give Malkus for a Talmud of the yeshiva that did an Avera, as opposed to Vle Mimnu Hashamte. They wouldn't get together and vote to give him Cherem, because Cherem is a much stronger punishment than Malkus. Malkus is painful, physically painful. Cherem is a much stronger punishment. Cherem is like it's not just a sentence that, you know, we think about as, you know, do business with the guy, you don't give him an aliyah. It's more of like a curse that he should die. As a matter of fact, the Gemara speaks about, by the famous Gemara, Tan Shachnai, right, Uri, the famous Gemara Bavitsiya, where the Tanayim had the Machlekes, but the Halach was, and they were having a machlekes whether or not, whether they said Shemayim Shepaskin, whether it's Tami or not. So when they finally gave, when they put him in Cherem for not listening to the Psak of the Rabbanan, he took off his shoes like an Avil. Why do you think of the Mar relates? Why do you take off his shoes like an Avil? Because it's a form of sentencing a person to death. So it's a much more chumrdika punishment than Malkus. So Rav Yosef said to Abaye, you're saying I should give him Malkus? Cherem is not enough. On the contrary, Cherem is more chumr than Malkus. That is version number one of the story. Ikadami, some say the story is opposite. Nagdei Beisiv basically gave him Malkus. Amay Abaye, according to this version, Abaye said back to Beisiv, Nisham Demar, why only giving him Malkus? You should even put him in Cherem. Because Rav Shmuel said that you put into Cherem over someone who desecrates the second day of Yom Tov, the idea of keeping 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutzarts. Amar Lei, Sir Beisiv back, Hanimi Lishdalma. Yeah, you put into Cherem a regular person. Halachat Tzumah Rabbanan over here, Rav Nasim Bar Asya was a Tzumah Rabbanan, was a big Talmid Chacham. The Tavalei Avdalei, so I'm treating him a little better. Like we find, Tamarav Mimnu Anagidas Debei Barav Vle Mimnu Hashamta. This part stays the same. Like we find in the Yeshiva in the Reis Medrash, when the Talmud would do an Avera, they'd focus on Malkus, they'd vote on giving Malkus, but they wouldn't vote to put him a Cherem. That's too strong of a punishment for someone who's a Talmid Chacham, who's a Tzumah Rabbanan. Okay, that's the second story with regards to keeping second day Yom Tov, or not being careful with it outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Asher brings up a beautiful diak. Rabbi Asher says, with this whole sig over here, we're discussing the idea of Minig HaMakom. I'm in a place where, so what's Rabbi Safa's question? What's the halacha in the Yishev? I certainly have to keep 2 days. I'll Minig HaMakom. What about in the Midbar? Clearly the question was based on a Minig HaMakom type of discussion. So Rabbi Asher wants to point out that if that's the case, so it comes out really as follows. Now that we know when Yom Tov is, we have calendars today, we know when Yom Tov is. Narvas, in before the calendars were established, before the calendars set up, the places where Shlichei Bezin were able to reach, they kept one day. The places where Shlichei Bezin couldn't reach, they kept 2 days. And the Chazal were Mesaket to continue in the place where they used to keep 2 days, they should continue to keep 2 days now. And Al Tzmini Gamakim, even from a place where you keep one day, I have to do, like the place, when in Rome, I have to do like the people of that location, I have to keep 2 days, like the people of Chutzlars. But says Rabbi Yashiv, Nafkmin is going to be, what if you're in a place where there's no Yidden? There never was Yidden. What if you go to a location where there never was an established practice of keeping 1 day or 2 days? If the pshat is that wherever Shlichei Bezin cannot reach or couldn't have reached historically, so you keep 2 days in such a place. So in this place where I go, where no one's where Shlichei Bezin couldn't reach, I still have to keep 2 days. But if the pshat is that no, you only keep 2 days in a place where that was the minig because Shlichei Bezin couldn't reach back in the day, and they established that they keep 2 days there, and they're continuing to keep that minig, and therefore whoever comes has got to stick to that minig. That's great in a place where Yidden lived, and they Shlichei Bezin couldn't reach back in the day. But now, but if you come to a new place where Shlichei Bezin never, even though Shlichei Bezin couldn't have reached it, but they never were Yidden living there, it was never established in this place a minig amakam to keep 2 days. So therefore, so whoever's coming now only has his kfi diarcha, he knows the calendar. And his minig, let's talk about a person who's from Eretz Yisrael. His minig, anyways, to keep 1 day normally. And he knows the calendar, so he knows when the day of Yom Tov is. And he comes to a location where there were never Yidden. There was never an established minig. Says Rabbi Yashiv, in such a case, the person wouldn't be able to keep only 1 day, massive chiddush. Why? Because you don't have the issue of minig amakam. So basically what he's saying is, the reason why we keep 2 days today is, obviously it's minig. We don't have the issue because we have a calendar. But it's also, therefore it's totally minig amakam, only a place which has that established minig to keep 2 days, do we have to keep 2 days? If you come to a place where there's no established minig, you won't have to keep 2 days. That is Rabbi Yashiv Shita, which, again, the Nafkmin is, a place where Yidden have never lived, he'll be able to keep 1 day, this Bar Eretz Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch Rav argues, and he says, no, his lashon is that when you come to any place where Shlichei Bezin couldn't reach, there was a chazal masaket to keep 2 days, and once the masaket keeps 2 days, the world now receives a special kedushas hayayim. There's inherently a kedushas hayayim in any place where Shlichei Bezin can't reach. There's a kedushas hayayim on the second day. It's really sveik yedema. We're not sure if it's the first day or the second. We're not sure which day it is. It's a sveik yedema. So even the point is, even though today we have a calendar and we do know which day is really the first day, there's been a special kedusha placed into the second day, and therefore no matter where you go, you have to keep 2 days, even if there never was a minig there to keep 2 days. Any place where Shlichei Bezin wouldn't be able to reach to establish the month in time, to tell them when the month was established in time, that would have to keep 2 days, even a place where Yidden never lived till now, and there was never an established minig, a Bar Eretz Yisrael goes there, he'll have to keep 2 days according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav. So again, so one of Kamina between Rabbi Yashiv and Shulchan Aruch Rav is, again, basic case that we keep talking about, there was no established practice. There were never any Yidden in the location. According to Rabbi Yashiv, a Bar Eretz Yisrael could keep 1 day there. According to Shulchan Aruch Rav, Arav, you'd have to keep 2 days there. Another nafkmin is, what nusach of tefillah? And there's a very relevant question. What nusach tefillah in general, not just in that specific place. In general, Bar Eretz Yisrael comes to Chutz Laretz. So we're saying, Atzmini Gamakam, he certainly can't do Malach on the second day, right? Certainly for Hesia, he can't do Malach on the second day, Atzmini Gamakam, because he has to act like the people of the place. The question is, first of all, there's a discussion about Darsh Betzina, what he's allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do, but also more than that, what about tefillah? Tefillah is davening in his private mouth. Should he be davening nusach of chayil? Because for him it's chayil, he's from Bar Eretz Yisrael. Or should he be davening a nusach of Yom Tov? Because the Maase is in a place where you keep 2 days. Again, this all goes based on the fact that he's from Eretz Yisrael. He keeps 1 day. And we have Tfilah D'Yarcha, so we don't really have a suffix anymore. So therefore, could he daven his nusach of chutzar, of weekday? Or did he daven like the people of chutzar? So it's totally the same shayla. According to Rabbi Yashiv, it's not really Yom Tov Echal. It's also Minig, you keep a second day, and he, also Minig Amakum, can't fear for the Minig. So in his private Shemon Esrei, when he knows that, for him, it's for sure not Yom Tov, he could have his weekday davening. Whereas according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, in these places of Chutz Laretz, once Chazal Masakin a din to keep 2 days of Tzveik Adyayma, a new Kedushas Yayim of Yom Tov Sheni falls in these places, and whoever's found there should be davening a Yom Tov Shemon Esrei even on the second day, even if he's a Bar Eretz Yisrael, even though we have a calendar, because right now there's a new Kedusha that came on this place, no matter who you are in this location, you have to daven a Yom Tov davening that is another Nafkin to Rabbi Yashiv and the Shulchan Aruch Rav. The Maisa, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, the Hamin Am takes on like Rabbi Yashiv, and that is that the person who's from Eretz Yisrael in Chutz Laretz, even if he's not doing malacha, when he davens, he should discreetly daven a weekday davening, even though he's amongst people who are keeping on to him. He's not doing malacha versa, he should be davening a weekday davening. That seems to be the accepted practice. Okay, that's a very, very relevant halacha lemaisa, especially with the people. especially, sorry, was that very relevant, especially with the people, the younger couples, that these days it's become more common practice, and I'm not saying it in a derogatory way, I think it makes a lot of sense, personally, but it's become more common practice, I've seen it more and more, that younger couples that are living at the Shul, and they have Dait Lachzer, but they're living there for years, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, they start to keep one day, which, again, I'm not getting involved in a machlokes, we pointed out yesterday, between the Torah giants, seems like the place carried to Shul, typically side to 1 day, and the place of Chutzlar is typically side to 2 days. Very interesting how it splits up usually. But the point is that there are many North American Yungalite that are living in Israel, and they're living there at least for the time being. There's no specific plans when they're coming back, even though they know they're likely going to come back at some point. They keep 1 day, and when they come to Chutzlar and they keep 1 day, it's very relevant that they even though they're keeping 1 day, they're again, they can't do millennium lachem v'hesya, but also the nusach of tefillah they should be davening is the nusach of weekday, not yom tov, and this seems to be the common practice. One more point, yes. Why, according to Rabbi Yashiv, why do we say midbar? Any place where there were no yidim, anybody no yidim would be the same din. Enachami. But like we say, that could be the meaning of midbar. Now, Rav Nasser Ba'Asya, the Achorinim take big issues with. Lamaisa, he didn't keep the second day of Shavuos. Or what did he do first? What did he do? He traveled, so he didn't keep the second day of Shavuos, and they put him in Chayim. What was his logic? Meaning, Al Tzkvi Diyarcha. Yeah, but the Maisa Chazal Masak in 2 days antiv. And the Chayra, it gets, the Mechaschinach makes the question very strong. The Mechaschinach says, he lived, presumably he's in Amira. He lived at a time where they were still relying on Shekhe Bezdin. The whole idea of relying on the calendar only came later. So in his day, it was a real Emes Safik. It was Emes Sveka Diema. So because maybe he had his own Cheshbet somehow to figure it out. But it's, Mekar Adin was real Sveka Diema. How on earth could he have been lenient? How could he have been lenient in being mezalzel in the second day of Yontif? So I want to say chap, that Enachami, what are we talking about? Traveling. What was wrong with traveling? He didn't carry anything. He went out of the Tchum. You know, Tchum is in the Rabbanan. Tchum Pashas, we discussed, maybe Yud Beis Mil, Yishalmi can be Dereisa, but Tchum Pashas is in the Rabbanan. Rabbi Kiva is even 2,000 Amos is Dereisa. But the Rabbanan say Tchum of 2,000 Amos is in the Rabbanan. So he violated the Rabbanan of Tchum. It was anyway a second day of Yontif, which is a Suffolk, and therefore, that's why he wasn't samzai being mezalzel yantav in general. It wasn't like his mamish being mechal yantav. He was being lenient with regard to a dirabanan on the second day of yantav. And the mice, they put him in chayim because they felt that was the wrong thing to do. That was the wrong thing to do. But or they gave malchus. That was the two stadim. They put him. They gave malchus. Didn't put him in chayim. But the point is, that was the logic of what he did. It wasn't stam or classic zilzul yantav. The question is, if back in the day it was really before they're still long shluchei bezdin, like the Michal's Chinuch question, so then every day is a suffix, not just the second day. The first day and second day are equal sveikas. You're not sure, is it the first day or the second day? When we're sure which day it is, so the second day is like, derabanan, I'm not minimizing it, but it's, we know really the the first day, and we're keeping the second day, it's minig, I'll chum a derabanan. But if, assuming, based on the Michelson's question, that the case was where they didn't know when the day was, so you're back to the question, it's a real zilzul yomtiv, because he's not sure if the first day was the real day, or the second day is the real day, and therefore, the chayri should be worried that how on earth was being mezalzel in a real scenario of yomtiv. The chayr doesn't make sense. So the Mechaschinach answer is very similar to what we said before from the Pnei Yeshua. That then fits very well with Shavuos. We pointed this out when we read it right away when we read about Shavuos. That the place where he was a place where Sukkot, they would never the Shulchan Bezin would never been able to reach. Pesach, Shulchan Bezin were able to reach. They used to keep 2 days in this Makkam no matter what. Why? Because since at certain Yom Tov of the year, the Shulchan Bezin couldn't reach, so therefore they kept 2 days across the board in this location. But really, by Pesach, they never suffered. Pesach itself wasn't Sfek Adiyama. And certainly Shavuos, like you pointed out, which is really counting 50 days from Pesach, was certainly not a Sfek Adiyama. So this wasn't a case where really it was a suffix if today was Shavuos or not. Really, we knew for sure yesterday was Shavuos and today was just this. We'll call it the chumra of minig hamakom of derabanan. So again, he was still considered to be doing something wrong by not keeping being machmer on this even the din of tchum on the second day. But it wasn't the pshat that he was not being machmer on tchum on a suffix of what could be yantiv. Yantiv was clearly ikur de yantiv was clearly the day before, and this was clearly a yantiv sheni for minig purposes, not me ikur adin, more of a minig, more of a derabanan, more of a chumra ba'alma. Okay. Right.
Shavuos is mamash 50 days after Pesach.
Exactly.
The whole reason we have a second day is a real drabbana to make it look like all the other Yom Tovim. Maybe that's why he's put the chaim. He's going against the rabbanon.
Very good. Very, very good. I mean, if a carrot, ad rabbits, it's divi rabbanon tzvichich, divi chacham tzvichich, a case of mishal teira. There's even more reason to put him in the chaim. Very good. We said in the Mishnah that someone who's moving, similar to traveling the Gabi Minhag Makam and work on Erev Pesach, not working on Erev Pesach, we have another conversation, the Gabi traveling from a place where we know when there's no longer fruit in the field for the animals, for the chayas, so you're not allowed to keep even the fruit that you store for yourself, for your domestic animals, you can't keep it in storage anymore, you have to do beer, you have to get rid of it. So Rabbi Yehuda said to them, we go tell the person, go ahead and bring for yourself. And the question is, what was Rabbi just saying? Well, first of all, was it being machmer? Was it being mekel? What was he saying? The Gemara is going to make six malchim. The Gemara is going to ask questions, if I remember correctly, on at least half of them. Ask questions on half of them. But the Gemara will come out with at least two, I forget if it's two or three malchim that the Gemara sticks with. Let's see. In fact, in explaining the Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara starts off right away with a question. Does Rabbi Yehuda not agree to this? We said the Mishnah. Neisal chumer amakam shatz bisham, v'chumer amakam shalchusham. The Gemara assumes where he says, you tell the guy, go out and bring for yourself. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if you're not able to bring your own produce, then you're okay. Does he not hold that we give him the chumers of the makam that he came from and the chumers of the makam that he came to? So to assume that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakhama on that concept that you give the chumers both the makam you came from, the makam you came to, which is the Klavar Mishnah, we don't want to make that assumption. So if that's the case, well, how are we interpreting what was Rabbi Yehuda's statement of telling him to go bring the pears from your place? What will be the relevance of that? If the place he's in right now, there is no pears, right? He came to a place where they no longer have this pears anymore. It's kol chayim nasada. It doesn't exist. So that should be a kaveya. Says the Amar of Shisha Breit of Idi Milsa Chuiti Kamar Rabbi Yehuda saying something else. He was saying as follows. Kamar I'm a makam shekalekalu. Tanakhama said, if one's taking Shemitah produce from a place where they have not been, Mamakam Shleikalo, a place where they have not been depleted yet, Lamakam Shleikalo, to another place where, again, they haven't been depleted. Vishama Shekol Makaymai. Then when he gets to the new place where the payers still exist, he hears that in his original place, they're out of those payers. Chayav Levar. So Tanakhama was saying that if a guy was in a place where the payers still exists, and he left that place, carrying these papers. And he arrives in another place where these specific pears also still exist in the field. No issue of beer yet. Then he hears that the place he left from ran out of those pears. So does he have to go based on his minigav, his original makam, the chumrah, and now get rid of this? Or could he say, when I left, there were pears there, where I came to this pears now here, and therefore I'm still good? So Tanakhama held, no, he's chayv levar. He has to be mevar. Since the place he left from no longer has these pears, he now has to be mevarit in his new place. And Rabbi Yehuda came along to say, no, Rabbi Daimer, save havi l'cha af ata mechad asinu v'le kalu. He could tell the people, this guy who arrived in his new town, could tell the people from his original town, go out and bring the produce the way I did from where we were to where I am now. The same way I brought it here, you bring it here too as well. And where I brought it to the place, this new place where I'm in, the pears still exist. And therefore, I shouldn't be meshubin. I shouldn't be achray to get rid of mine because you guys ran out. I left when there was pears there. I'm right now in a place where there's pears, and therefore I should have to get rid of it. The issue with this is that, well, I shouldn't say issue it yet. The Gemara is going to say it's an issue, but what comes out is according to this interpretation, according to this, we'll call it the second interpretation, Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be make on Tanakhama. Right? According to this interpretation, Rabbi is being make on Tanakhama, and he's saying that you don't have to get rid of it because my original location is out of these pears. Right now in a place where the pears exist, I left when the pears existed, and therefore I can still keep it. He's being makel on the Tanakhama. Says the Gemara, the member of the Kula Kamar, but according to this version, Rabbi is being makel, Vamar Blazer. We have a member from Blazer that learned Rabbi Yehuda Chumra. Rabbi's member was for Chumra purposes, not for Kula purposes. We were telling him, go bring it out, and if you can't bring it out, then you gotta be Mivarit. It was some sort of statement being Mechayev, not being makel. Says the Gemara, El Epoch, rather flip it. Go to simple Pesha the Mishnah, but flip it. Say the Tanakhama was saying, you don't have to invar. You can rely on the fact that right now he's in a place where they still have these pears, and therefore you don't have to do beer. Rabbi Yehuda Imer, save Avilcha, Af Atam Eich Dasinu, Vakalu. Rabbi Yehuda will say, no, you tell the guy, go back and bring from the place where you came from. And he can't anymore, because the place where he came from now has run out. And therefore he himself now, even though he's in a place where they have this produce, he himself now has to get rid of it also, because he's from the original place where they ran out. And going back to the first diak, that Rabbi Yehuda also agrees, so you give him the chumra of the makam that he came from, and the chumra of the makam that he's in, and therefore he would have to do beer. That is pshat number three. Abai Amar, so far the first two malachim, we didn't stick, the third malach sticks. Abai Amar, Leilam Ketutani, I'll tell you, that go back with the original reading of the Mishnah. Read the Mishnah as follows. If a person transported produce from a place where it hasn't ran out, these fruits, to a place where it's run out, and then he got back to the place where, his original place, where it hasn't run out yet, Tanakam is very simple. He's in a place where this produce didn't run out. He traveled to a place where they ran out of it, and he's now traveled back to a place where they still have it. Would he have to get rid of it or not? It started in a place where the produce exists, and it ended in the same place the produce still exists. Just in between, it traversed to a place where they ran out of it. Would he have to get rid of it? Tanakam says, no. Ain't a chavavar. Rabbi Daimer, no. Rabbi says, he would still have to get rid of it. Why? You transported through a place where they ran out of it. Could you bring produce from that place where they ran out of it? Avadanat. And therefore, even though now you're back in your original place where they still have this in the field, you are mechuyev to get rid of it because this produce went through a place where there was already, it was kalul l'chayim nasade, it was depleted. It says the Marat Maskar Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda, ato agabed chamer katlinu, kaltinu, are you going to give it a status for traveling through? What if you mamish didn't stop at all? You're just traveling through a place. And it happens to be that place that you once traveled through now ran out of pears. You're going to make a meshubah to any place it's ever traveled through? It started in a place where there's still the produce is there. It ended in a place where went back to a place where the produce is still there. So just because it happened to traverse through in the middle, it doesn't make sense, Namastaver, that anyone would say that we say it's considered that you have to do beer because there was no longer found these produce in one of the places that happened to pass through. Rav Ashi does not like that tzad. And therefore, Elam Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi does not like the fourth malach, therefore Rav Ashi offers a fifth malach. Elam Rav Ashi, let us say the machlekes in our Mishnah between Tanakam and Behuda is the same as the following machlekes. The time we learned in a Mishnah. This is the Mishnah in Shvius in the ninth perek. Hakayv shleishik vashim b'chavas achas. One who's preserving, he's like pickling three types of vegetables in one barrel. So before we even go further, he's pickling three different types of vegetables in one barrel. And let's just say the case was where some of the vegetables remain in circulation, and therefore there would be no, they're talking about Shvius, of course, and there's no obligation to get rid of them. Other vegetables are out of circulation, but you pickle these together, you make a salad of these vegetables, and you pickle them together. So what would be the options, what would be the halachas in such a case? There's really three options. You could say that since some of their mixture is still available out in the fields, the whole mixture remains mutter. You could say since some of the mixture is no longer available in the fields, the whole mixture is usur. Or you could say what I would presume to be pretty simple is, the vegetables that are still available in the field are still mutter to eat from this mixture, from this pickled mixture, or from this preserved mixture. And the vegetables that are no longer available on the fields are no longer mutter from this preserved mixture. Those would be the three options. So let's see what the Mishnah says over there in Shvius in the ninth parak. Titan. One who's pickling three types of vegetables in one barrel. Reb Lazar Eimer, and some of them is no longer in circulation. Reb Lazar Eimer, Eichlan Arishan, you can eat based on the one that's still. That you can only eat based on the first one that becomes depleted. Meaning, once one of these vegetables is depleted, you cannot eat any of this mixture anymore. Rabbi Shua Emer, Afal Achron, no, you can rely on the Achron. As long as any one of these vegetables are still available, you can still eat this mixture. That's sheet number two. Rabbi Mila Emer, like Kulk Shekal Mina Menasada, Yivar Mina Menachavis, Valachidvarv. Rabbi Mila says, you go based on species by species. Whatever's still available in the field, you're still able to eat. Whatever's no longer available in the field, that you're not able to eat from this barrel, you won't be able to eat. And we see the Marsa, and the Mishnah says, Allah is like Rabbi Mila. Okay, so what's the connection? The connection to our Mishnah is that we want to say that Rabbi Yehuda is saying like a Gamil, that you go based on whatever's available you can eat, and that's what we say to the guy, go bring it. Could you bring it? Then you can eat it. If you can't go bring it, you can't eat it. So we're saying our Mishnah is like a little bit of a Hachamai Askinan. We're talking about where there's a mixture, and Rabbi Yehuda is following like the Rabbi Gamil, whereas the Tanakhama for Mishnah is following like Rabbi Shua, who is the Mekel, who said, as long as you have any of this produce available in the field, you can eat the entire mixture, even though some of it is no longer available, as long as any of the mixture is available, as long as any of the ingredients, any of the vegetables that are in the mixture are still available out in the field, you can eat the entire mixture. That was the lenient Tanakama, and Rav Gamil, in this case, or according to us, Rav Yehuda, and according to our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda, came along to argue and say, no, whatever is available, great, whatever's not available, then you cannot eat like Rav Gamil. Ravina Amar, a final interpretation, the Machlekes in our Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and Tanakama is the Machlekes of the following time, the Tanakama, you're allowed to eat the dates of a palm tree in Yehuda, at Sheikhla, Achran Shabbat Sayer, until the last palm tree in Sayer has been depleted. Rav Shimon Gamil says, top of Amad Vez, Eichlin, Al shel bein akifin, vein eichlin al shel bein ashitzin. You can eat the palm dates based on what's available of those that are stuck on the branches. You can't eat based on what's between the thorns. Meaning, when there are dates, as you get to, I mean, in general, but certainly it's more relevant as you get to, as it starts to become depleted. But it's in general is relevant. There are dates that are found on the branches. There are dates that are found stuck between the thorns. The ones that are found stuck between the thorns are more difficult, especially for animals. It's more difficult for them to get to those dates. But again, they're there, but it's more difficult. The ones on the branches are easier. So are you allowed to eat only based on that which is on the tree itself, or even based on those which are on the thorns? Let's see. So Zemar says, sorry. So the Gemara wants to suggest the Machlekes Aratanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is the same Machlekes of the Tanakama of the Braisa as opposed to the Shita of Reb Shimon. Meaning Tanakama, the Braisa says that as long as there's any produce, we don't care if it's in the thorns or the branches. He makes no distinction. It's okay. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel qualified and said, no, only that which is in the tree on the branches is okay. That which is the thorns not okay. And that's what Buddha was saying. Go bring it yourself. Meaning something which is difficult to bring, something which is hard to bring up, which is the dates that are between the thorns. That's not considered enough of an existence to give it a status of still having produce in the field. Once you're only left with the dates between the thorns, that's considered kol chayim nasad. That's considered as if it's depleted, and therefore that would be reason enough to no longer be able to keep it. You have to do beer in such a case. That's the machlekes that we're having over here, similar to the machlekes that we had in Ebraisa. Tanasim. We learned in the Mishnah again on the halacha legabi beer. We learned also shoshas shas lebir. There's three lands in Eretz Yisrael. Not only Eretz Yisrael. We'll see in a second. Three lands legabi beer. What are they? Yehuda, Vever, Yarden, Vegal. Three different lands. When you're judging whether it's beer or not, you go based on these three locations. The whole area of Yehuda is one location. Eretz Yisrael is another, and the Galil is a third location. Each one of these lands have three different locations, which the Rishonim seem to explain that there's different types of locations. Meaning, the Rashi says there's mountains, there's low areas, there's valleys. So there's deep, there's dips, there's mountains, and there's kind of like flatter areas. But the Mefarshim seem to explain that there's no Rashi, Rambam. They learn, I mean, Tosfos argues in this, but we're going to just go simple Rashi and Rambam. They seem to explain that there's no nafka mina in these three places within the three regions. I mean, otherwise you'd say there's nine different regions, legabe, when does Mabir is. We're not saying that. We're saying there's three general regions, Yehuda, Galil, Eiver Yarden, and we have to point out within the three regions, after a while we're pointing out, there's different types of lands, different type of areas, but within each region, they'll have the same din. Within Eiver Yarden, within Yehuda, within Galil, they'll have the same din. That's a Rashi, Ramam, again, Tosfos has a different view, but we're going to leave that for now. Okay, says the Gemara, V'lam Ramam Shoshar Tzayis Lebir, why they say Shoshar Tzayis Lebir, Shiyukloichlim B'chol Achas Vachas, as shichla achad shiba. In each place, you can eat as long as that land itself still has some produce somewhere. Each land, each one of these three areas, the entire area is dependent on, as long as there's some place within that area that still has, it's okay to keep the it's not considered zman bir yet. How do we know this? So long as the chaya in the field is able to find produce, that's the lesson we keep using, kol l'chaya minasada. It's depleted for the chaya in the field. As long as the chaya in the field is able to find this produce, you're able to keep it for your animal in the house. Kol l'chaya shabasada, but once the animal in the field it cannot find this produce anymore in Shemitah, then kol v'amtach me'abayis, it's your obligation to get rid of it from the mehema in your house, from storage, you have to get rid of it. And again, we spoke about chukas shen. Does that mean destroying it? Does that mean being mafgirt? Does that mean putting it out and letting everyone have equal shares in it? Ugemiri, te'ein chayish shabihuda gedela al perish shabagal. So now, the Gemara wants to know, that's the general halacha that we've been discussing the past couple of days. How do we know that the Yehuda has one din, Gal has another din, and Eiver Yarden has another din, and the whole area is dependent on, as long as you can find somewhere where there's produce there, that's good enough. Says the Gemara, because we have a Mesira, to ain't Chayesh B'Yehuda G'deila al Perish B'Galol, to ain't Chayesh B'Galol G'deila al Perish B'Yehuda. We have a Mesira that the animals of Yehuda can live on anything within Yehuda, but they don't go and live on things from Galol and vice versa. And therefore, that's why we made these boundaries. Anything within these boundaries is okay. Once you have the boundaries, it will not be sufficient. Tarabun, see one, let's go a little further. Tarabun, Perish Yetzim and Eretz Yisrael, the Chutzarets, Perish that came, left Eretz Yisrael and ended up in Chutz Laretz. So take it from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. Ms. Baram B'chol Makom Shehem. When it comes to beer, you can do beer wherever they are. You don't have to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael to do beer. Shimon Lazaimer, no. Yachs Makom Ms. Baro. You're supposed to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael and do beer there. Why? Mishum Shenemer Ba'artzacha. Because Ms. Ba'artzacha, since it's Ba'artzacha, we learn from there, Artzacha means the beer should also take place in your land. So if a person traveled to Eretz Yisrael with produce, very relevant with Shemitah produce. Today, they do ship produce. I mean, the other dinim also, you have to be very careful with Shemitah produce. You're not allowed to destroy any of it. You're allowed to eat it, but you have to eat it all. There's a question what to do with the peels. You're not allowed to destroy any of it. You have to eat it in its entirety, and you're not allowed to do business with it either. So the question of the wines, how they get around it. I mean, there's malachim what they do to get around it, but the wines of Shemitah, you can't really do business with it. But let's assume you got some Shemitah produce, and you had it out of Eretz Yisrael, the L'chaira, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, once it reaches Man Beer, you'd have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael to destroy it, whereas according to Tanakam, destroy it wherever it is, and that's fine. Says the Gemara, a question on Rabbi Shimon Elazar. He's saying, Eretz Yisrael tells me you got to take it back to Eretz Yisrael to destroy it. Ha-fikte, we already used Arzacha for the drasha we just discussed a minute ago. We basically used that really as part of our drasha where we discussed that the land ulechayasha ba'artzecha. I didn't actually focus, I didn't stress on it, but before when we said that Galil is different than Yehuda and therefore they have their own locations, asher ba'artzecha. Since the animals of Galil don't live off the produce of Yehuda and vice versa, therefore their zman for beer is different, and that's based on the drasha of Arzacha also. How are you using Arzacha for a second drasha? Says Umar, two answers. Kari bei ba'aretz ba'artzecha. You can make two drashas. One is from ba'aretz. Could have been one drasha. And ba'artzecha gives me a second drasha. So one is to bring back the produce to the Eretz Yisrael to destroy it. The other is that each land goes on its own. Each land, such as Gal, Ever Yarden, and Yuda, have their own calendar. Inami me'asher ba'artzecha. The word asher ba'artzecha helps me get that other drasha. Rav Safra Nafim Eretz Yisrael, the Chutz Rav Safra went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. Havi b'adei gar b'dechamra d'shvias. He had a barrel of Shemitah wine with him. Lavu bade Ravuna Bredev Ika Ravkana. With him was Ravuna Bredev Ika and Ravkana. Amr Lahu. And Rav Safra said to them, Ika Tashmili Mine Dravo, did anyone hear from Rabavo, Halakh of Shimon Lazar Eli? Anyone hear what the Halakh is? Like, is there Shimon Lazar that basically had to get rid of it? He knew that there was Kolachayim Hasada. They no longer had storage of this anymore in the fields. So he has to get rid of it. Do I have to take it back to Tzor with me to get rid of it? Or can I get rid of it where I am over here? Is the Halakh of Shimon Lazar, you have to take it back or not? Amal Efkana, Hakam Ravo, Ravkana said that from Rabavo, Halakh of Shimon Lazar, Halakh of Shimon Lazar. However, Amal Ravunabedevika said in the name of Rabavo, Hakam Ravo, ain't Halakh of Shimon Lazar. So he asked the question of Safra, and he got from two different Talmidim from Rabavo the conflicting reports what the psak was, Allah is like Shimon Lazar, or the Allah is specifically not like Shimon Lazar. I'm Rav Safra. Safra said, Nekaito klal b'drav huna b'yadcha. Rav Kana said, take the klal of Rav Huna b'reid of Ikka b'yadcha, that Allah is not like Shimon Lazar, and you don't have to take it back to that soul. Why? The daivik amash shmaite b'pumei d'rabbe. Because he was very careful to know the shmaite, the teaching from his teacher's mouth. K'rechav t'pumptisa, like rechav p'pumptisa. What's the meaning? He's very medactic to get the exact wording, like rechav p'pumptisa. What was special about rechav p'pumptisa? We had this before. Harabayas had these double rows of benches, satav from satav, rows of benches within rows of benches. Now, what do you see over there? That he was very meduic in his words. So there's two malachim in the Achreinim. They explain either, maybe the Rishonim already, I should say, the Rishonim say it already. It's a Gemara in Brachas, we had that so long ago. Either they say it was a question who the author was of this memra. Was it Rabbi Yehuda HaMeira or was it Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi? Right? With the end of the Tanoim, was it Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi or was it Rabbi Yehuda HaMeira? And he taught it in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. He knew exactly, they weren't sure. And he knew with certainty it was Rabbi Yehuda HaMeira. Therefore, there was a certain level of were able to depend. You're able to depend on the memories of Rechava. So too, we're saying about this Rav Huna Breid of Ikka. He also had that dependability that his memories are correct, and therefore rely on him. That the halacha is not like Rav Avos. Halacha is not like Shimon Lazar. That's one explanation of Rechava. Or the other explanation is simply the wording that he used. The wording they used to describe benches was no longer a wording that was being used in times of Amram. It was a lush that was used earlier. It was an old Hebrew lush that was used in Tanakh era. And he still kept using that lush because he was very didactic to repeat the memory in the way the members would give it over. And therefore, it shows the level of diktuk in the wording of his Rabbanim. And therefore, if you have a doubt who's correct, you rely on someone like him to say it's correct. Karla Rav Yosef said about Rav Safra, said to Rav Safra, Ami ba'atzi yishol umakli agadlai, kol amakalai, whoever rules lenient like him, magadlai, he's going to Magid could normally be like a stick. It could be like he's being hit. But we're coming to say that whoever believes the simple teachers, whoever believes in these sticks and these idols is in trouble. Over here, he's making a play on words to say that whoever is being makel, not like a rod, whoever is being makel, then Yagale also he should be getting a little bit a rebuke for his actions for being makel. We'll pause over here. We'll pick up Mitzvah from here tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.